Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Our time this next half hour will largely cover Me Time with Frangella, the new daytime mix of talk and talk back running on Raycon Media-owned stations. Executive producer Jason Berger joins me next. For our second half hour, we connect with Guy Tubes. He executive produces The Stinky and Dirty Show, a kid that Dave at Amazon. When his focus is not on Stinky, it's gearing up for TOTS, coming next year to Disney Junior. Also ahead, Lionsgate and the BBC join forces, Rob Lowe's TV series return, our classic trivia question, and we snatch some moments to honor Kung Fu's master, Jerry Thorpe. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 59 degrees at the top of the hour on this October Friday, and we welcome you again to the program All About Television. Third of three episodes we're doing this week. Delighted to have you aboard. Terrific guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you not to be a bystander, but be active. How do you do that? You interact with us by picking up the phone, getting your voice raised, and using this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We have a chat room in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we get you involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Get on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk screen or speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Jason Berger from Me Time with Frangella, live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. We have a new scripted TV relationship coming to life this afternoon, Lionsgate and the BBC, BBC Studios Los Angeles to be exact. Both organizations have formed a co-development and financing effort covering BBC scripted formats in place and new projects, all for U.S. viewers. The first series under this venture has not been announced. Rob Lowe will make his TV series return playing Wild Bill, a stateside chief of police who moves across the Atlantic to a port town in England. Lowe will executive produce Wild Bill in association with ITV Studios, unit known as Shiver, and Mr. Robot Maker Anonymous Content. 6 episodes will go into production near London next month. And on the quickie beat, the Tyra Banks TV movie sequel to Life Size will premiere on Freeform December 2nd. Another I Am documentary special is in production at Paramount Network. Richard Pryor is the subject, with the late entertainer's wife Jennifer Lee Pryor executive producing. And before we went on the air a few moments ago, we just learned that NBC has 2 reality competition shows coming up in January, Titan Games with Dwayne Johnson, and the spinoff of America's Got Talent, The Champions. And that is news notes for today. Over the last decade, TV station groups have gotten more involved in producing their own programming, some for their stations, and in many cases, for ultimate syndication. Think The Wendy Williams Show, Pickler and Bennett, which got an actual syndication last month through Disney ABC. And in the case of Raycon Media, Right This Minute, which has had a wonderful, successful run and also is being marketed over 100 stations right now by Disney ABC. Their latest effort for their stations is called Me Time with Frangella. It's a daytime attraction which has a terrific kind of duo who've known each other for 20 years, do the talking, and then hear some talk back from listeners. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, the executive producer of Me Time, Jason Berger. Jason, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Thank you. And we appreciate you having you be aboard with us. Your show's been running now for over a month. How's it doing?
It's actually doing really well. We, when we launched in 44 markets, it was, I think it was literally the day after the big hurricane Florence had hit most of our markets. We still, I think, gave people just a little bit of an uplifting, a bit of getaway, and we were able to get some really solid ratings, and we've continued those. So I'm really happy with how the show's doing, knock on wood, and hopefully it'll continue to improve.
What makes the show special, aside from the fact that because it's semi-live, and you're doing an episode every day, that you can not only have your host respond to the developments of the day or whatever tickles their fancy, but also you're able to get instant feedback from viewers.
Yeah, so, you know, the thing that makes this show really unique is it's kind of a hybrid of a talk show. You know, we've got two amazing comedians, Frangela, who just are literally fantastic, and they come from a comedic background. You know, they come from Chicago and Second City, and obviously extremely opinionated, but also really, really intelligent and worldly. And so what's interesting about the show that kind of sets it apart is, you know, we're talking about interesting topics that are in the zeitgeist every day. We're giving tips and tricks on, you know, how to navigate life. So it's everything from relationships to style to food to parenting. And at the same time, we're also we've got comedic sketches in there that are I think that what's nice about that is it's not something you generally see on daytime. So we're kind of this hybrid between daytime talk and late night. And really also with a lot of tips and takeaways and guests, and we have a tremendous amount of input from the audience, which is through Skyping, through all of our social feeds. So we're really, I mean, to be honest, I mean, we spend a lot of time getting, you know, feedback and questions and interacting with our audience in real time that really does actually help shape the next day's show or that show, the show that's airing that day. So it's a really fun show that I think that is, you know, we're not trying to talk about politics or, you know, be kind of, be a downer. We're really trying to give folks a little bit of a breath of fresh air with a comedic twist to it. But at the same time, we're talking about real stuff. So it's been a lot of fun, and I think the audience is enjoying it. So we're happy.
How did this show get put together, and when did Frangela, that's Francis Collier and Angela Sheldon, when did they come into play?
So it's interesting because, you know, we had been talking with Raycom, who's now is part of Great TV or is going to be part of Great TV. They've got some just fantastic executives over there with Ken Reiner and consultant Donna Harrison. Both have been in this business for an extremely long time. And so we got to know them about a year and a half ago where we had started to work on a couple of projects together. At the time was doing a couple things with Scripps as well. And we just built a really great rapport with the two of them and as well as the folks with Scripps. And then when, about 6 months after that, they had called us and said, you know, we've got some really unique pieces of talent that we think, you know, you guys would be able to, you know, take it to the next level in terms of, you know, adding creativity to this idea that they had been percolating over. And so together with them, we, you know, created this show, and that was probably about 7 months ago, 6 months ago. And we had met the talent and immediately hit it off because our background tends to be comedy. It was kind of the perfect fit. And also the idea that, you know, we had done talk, but not like this, you know, not in this capacity where we were, you know, it's a large audience that spreads, you know, multiple demographics, and it was a space that we had always wanted to be in, but didn't really necessarily find the right project or the right talent to do something with. And so Donna and Ken really, you know, wanted to create something unique, and I really wanted to try and figure out the syndicated world in a way that is, you know, a little bit more entrepreneurial than maybe it has been in the past. And that's kind of what, you know, separates our company probably from most is, you know, we're into challenges and into creating kind of our own destiny when it comes to creating content. And they are really, really just fantastic partners in that. And, you know, they saw our vision, we saw their vision, and it's been a good marriage.
Meantime, with Frangella, now runs on 44 Raycom media stations around the country at various time periods. So when you check your local listings, if you have a Raycom station area, don't forget to check where it is playing, because not every station plays at the same time. We're speaking with Jason Berger. He's the executive producer of the series, and he's live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. Glad to have you here on this October Friday. It's 59 degrees at the top of the hour in New York. Yes. We are in fall, in case anybody was wondering. If a question or comment for Jason, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, we'll speak with people who put together a show on YouTube Premium called Foursome. Believe it or not, it's about to go into its fourth season. They are the creators, the producers, the directors, the co-star, and they probably built the set too. Shayna Warren and Marissa Reed, they'll be with us that Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And coming your way on Friday's episode, 1 week from today, we'll have one of the top comedy series producers of recent years. His credits include Raising Hope for Fox and My Name is Earl for NBC. He is now in his second season doing the guest book on TBS. The creator, executive producer, and director, Greg Garcia, will be our lead guest. And also joining us will be two of the co-stars of that series, from Orange is the New Black, and those of you in New York know her as one of the co-stars of the South Wales musical Waitress. Kamiko Glenn will be with us, along with other co-star Jimmy Tatro. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Speaking of when the stations play, do they all play around the same time, or is it pretty much vary depending on where you are?
Well, you know, I just wanted to say, too, that you guys are in for a treat with Marissa and Selena. They're fantastic. I know them well. They're extremely talented folks. You guys should definitely tune into that episode. It really, you know, we're, you know, different time periods and different stations in our 44 markets. So, yeah, we're kind of a little bit all over the place in our time slots, but if you check your local listings, you'll be able to find us.
So, a month plus in, what have become like the favorite subjects so far for the audience to hear talk about?
You know, it's a good question. In fact, we were just talking about that, and you know, one of the things, you know, a couple of the topics that we've found pretty interesting is, you know, we had a topic of should men take birth control, dealing with infertility, lawnmower parents. We did an episode, a segment on celeb lookalike sperm donors. We've also got some recurring segments that I love, which is This Just In, which is taking some really funny stuff that's occurred in pop culture or in the news that you just literally can't believe, and Frangela, they give their take on that. We've got we have a segment that I also really like. It's called where we answer your burning questions, and then we also occasionally will do some stuff where we stick Frangela on a green screen and they have to figure out where in the world the other one is. And then there's also a segment on there that's called Judge Frangela, where they will give you the verdict of an argument or a dispute that you're having. And so we'll have folks come into the studio, and Judge Frangela will give you their take and their verdict on whatever dispute you're having. So we've got just a ton of we're really kind of, the idea with the show is we don't really want to alienate a particular audience, and so there's really something for everybody in this. You know, there's different we have food segments where they'll try out crazy dishes that are making its way into pop culture style. So there's something in there for everybody.
With so many segments and so many ideas you can play around with every episode, how do you figure with your production team, all right, this week we'll do a judge segment, this week we'll have a comedy sketch on Tuesday or Wednesday, this Friday we'll do we'll try a new feature and see if it plays.
You know, it's a good question, and you know, what we try to do is we'll take a look at obviously take a look at headlines and take a look at what, you know, folks are talking about on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and then we'll literally look at that topic and say, okay, well, what's our way into the topic, and then really what's our turn, like what's our way of discussing this topic that feels relevant, fresh, new, and is, you know, something that Frangela can get behind, whether that's something that they agree on or they disagree on. So it's really kind of rifling through stuff that folks are talking about, or it can also be, you know, our take that is, you know, something that's been an age-old debate. You know, it's like, how would we do, you know, whether coffee is good or bad for you? Or how would we do whether wine is good for you? Or how would we do, you know, certain styles? And I think that what's interesting about it is that, you know, some of these things, you know, history kind of repeats itself, as we all know. And so how do we tackle the subject matter that feels relevant and where we can give our audience something that they may not have thought about before, and whether that's just an age-old debate or if it's like we're talking about, you know, new parenting tips that are coming out. I mean, it's, you know, there's a continual debate on whether you should have monitors where, you know, you're watching your kids and you're watching the babysitter. There's a debate whether you should have, you know, a night nurse. Or it's, you know, how long should you breastfeed? You know, it's stuff like that where I think that we are taking a look at that subject matter, doing our research in terms of what people are talking about it now, what are the things that are challenging for folks either still, or what are some solutions also that have come about, whether that's technology or if it's a new study. So we're kind of really looking at it, you know, in a 360 degree point of view. We're taking all the information, whether that be from studies or experts, and, you know, and really what the public thinks. You know, we take a lot of polls. You know, we take a lot, you know, we do a lot of man on the streets. We ask our audience to weigh in consistently on what's working, what's not working for them. So for us, I think it's about, you know, if there's a headline, we're not necessarily taking the headline and saying, let's talk about that. Let's debate it. What we're trying to do is dive deeper into that and really, really pull out subject matter that we can then, you know, it can kind of have a spider effect on what we talk about.
Now, how do viewers get involved? I understand that they can get involved both social media, but they also have a video chat option.
Oh, say that again.
I understand that viewers have an opportunity to be on the program through video chat as well as getting involved through social media.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we literally have a website that you can go to, MeTimeWithFrangela.com, where you can see all of, you know, ways that you can get involved, how to get on the show. You know, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We've got fun segments on YouTube. I did forget to mention one of my favorite segments, which is 80s Throwdown, which is literally our debate on what was the best 80s, whether that be the best movie of the 80s, the best leading woman of the 80s, the best mom of the 80s, the best detective in an 80s movie. So anyway, you can literally catch us through MeTimeWithFrangela.com. You know, we are in on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter at MeTimeFrangela. And then obviously Facebook MeTimeWithFrangela. So we're all over the place.
Jason Berger is our guest this first half hour on Tuolumne Televised for this Friday afternoon, coming at the midway point of October 2018. Jason is the executive producer of Me Time with Frangela. It's available on 44 Raycon media stations all over the country, various time periods, and he's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour. And if you have a question or a comment for Jason in our remaining moments with him, give him a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll have another three-episode week of our program week after next. And on our Wednesday episode, which will be on October 24th, we got a very special guest for you. The former co-star of Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Tamara Tierney, will be with us. She just did a BET movie called Her Only Choice that deals with dealing and policy with cancer. And, of course, Law & Order SVU now its 20th season on NBC Thursday at 10 p.m. Tamara was a big part of that program for a number of years, and we'll have her on live from Pittsburgh. That's Tamara Tierney from Law & Order SVU and the new BET film Her Only Choice. A week from Wednesday, October 24th, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jason and Frangela have done things together in terms of series. They've done a radio show together. They do a podcast for Westwood One. I believe this is the first time that they have done television as a series. Was there anything they had to learn about dealing with the camera in terms of making the show work?
Say that question again?
What did they have to learn in terms of being in front of a camera? In terms of making the show work.
Yeah, so they, you know, what's with them, you know, and I think that you can get an idea also just to, not to plug it again, but, you know, with, you know, if you check out any of our socials, Me Time with Frangela, you can kind of check out, you know, how we also make the camera, you know, it's kind of part of the show. But it's interesting because they have had a lot of experience on television, and this is kind of their, you know, and they've done a ton of stand-up. They've been on a bunch of shows, and you know, they're really naturals. I mean, I gotta tell you, you know, when you watch them, it's so refreshing because they're fun, they're funny, they're insightful, they're intelligent. They've got great points of view, and in terms of the camera, I think that the you know only thing that we have had to changes is that they're quick and they are very fast on their feet, and so it's really been about us adjusting ourselves to that, you know. So we're set up with, you know, four cameras, and you know, a lot of times, you know, because they can finish each other's sentences, it's a question of whether we stay on, you know, the two shot, or you know, where and when we can go to singles. You know, so that we're not losing any of the commentary or any of the comedy that is between them. I mean, they call themselves Frangela because they really do. I mean, they're you know, they are a duo. So I think it's been more about us adjusting how we are cutting and how we're shooting than it is about them. Because I mean, to be honest, I mean they're. You know, we're just basically giving them, you know, as a production team, we're saying, you know, look, these are the kind of the bullet points, and you know, this is what we, you know, this is the day's topics, and then you know, they're really running with it. So we're kind of playing catch up as it pertains to the camera work, which we have a phenomenal director in Alan Wu, who's just who's been amazing. So so yeah.
It's nice to have talent like that, have a playground. You give them the playground and, like, you know, make it work to the max. Have you heard from, or has Raycon heard from other stations outside their service area saying that, hey, we'd like to put this show on any way we can do that?
Yeah, you know, we have. And, you know, I think that, you know, as we, you know, we launched September 10th, so we're kind of just at our month mark. So we are starting to get some just amazing feedback on it, and I think that, you know, as you and your audience knows, you know, you're launching a show, and you're launching a show with not necessarily new talent, but possibly, you know, in territories that folks have not heard of Frangela, even though they've been around and have been successful, that it's starting to really gain traction in a lot of markets that we're not necessarily in. And so, yeah, we're getting some great feedback on that. And so hopefully you'll be seeing more of them and folks that aren't in our regions will soon have access to this great content.
The program is Me Time with Frangela. It is now running on 44 Raycom stations across the country. So if there's a Raycom station near you, check your local listings for the station in your area and where it is playing. For more details about the program online, two places to go. One is www.raycommedia.com. That's www.raycommedia.com. And the show's own website, MeTimeWithFrangela.com. That's MeTimeWithFrangela.com. And we'll keep an eye and see how the rollout of this show continues as the season progresses and certainly into the fall of next year. Jason Berg, the executive producer of MeTime, thank you for joining us. All the best with Frangela and your whole production crew. Sounds like we're off to a great start, and hopefully people around the country that don't have the show now will have it pretty soon. Sooner than later.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm a big fan, so I'm interested to keep listening.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And we're looking forward to having the foursome duo on our show on Monday. From what you say, it's going to be a fun interview with them on Monday.
I'm looking forward to listening.
All right, you guys, and please call in, too. We'd love to have you call in and chat with us as we go on. Jason, take care. All the greatest. Have a super weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Jason Berger, executive producer of Me Time with Frangela on Raycom Media Stations Coast to Coast. Coming next on Tomorrow We Televise, our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And in our Up segment, Mark Bremer on Wednesday said something that a listener has responded to, and I'll respond to that listener. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you want to hear some of the great literature of all time, Audible.com is not the way to do it. For example, Sense and Sensibility, the famous Jane Austen novel, narrated by a terrific actress, Rosamund Pike. So if you want to catch that, it's very simple. Just use this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, and a free audiobook of Sense and Sensibility can be yours. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from, not just classic books like Sense and Sensibility, but original audio productions made for Audible. You can listen on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So take the opportunity here for yourself why Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For that free audiobook and 1 month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We're still waiting for somebody to come up with the correct answer to this question. On the TV series Blue Bloods, in what New York City neighborhood does Blue Bloods family, headed by Tom Selleck, gather at every episode for dinner? On the TV series Blue Bloods, that's tonight, by the way, on CBS, name the New York City neighborhood where Blue Bloods family, led by Tom Selleck, gather every episode near the close for dinner. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the Louder Milk DVD, the first episodes of Season 2, now playing on AT&T's Audience Network on cable and satellite. Stephen Milan's Love My Pitbull. It's a DVD courtesy of Nat Geo Wild. And the 6-CD set of John Edwards Developing Your Own Psychic Powers. That all can be yours with the correct answer. But in order to win, you got to play in. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full mail address in the email. And if you just missed a question a moment ago, I'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and throughout the weekend, too, on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. But remember, in order to win, play in. And all the very best. Now it's time for Up, Admin Update, where we catch up with some of the guests and topics we've had on our show. Well, on Wednesday, we had one of the best observers of TV I know, Mark Berman, the editor-in-chief of the Filming Insider. And one of the people listening in was Mario 500. He is the writer of a popular web blog that covers TV and radio in Southwest Alabama. And he took particular issue to a comment when we raised the subject of the 20th season of Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And Mark Berman noted that next year, NBC will have the 21st season, which will make it the longest-running show in the history of television. Well, Mario sent both Mark and myself an email noting that another candidate for the longest-running show in television history, scripted-wise, is The Guiding Light, the daytime drama that started in 1952 and ended late last decade. Now, I don't know if that's the case. I want to respond to Mario. First of all, thank you, Mario, for hearing our show. Secondly, I think we were trying to make it clear, and if it wasn't clear enough on you, I apologize, that what Mark was talking about was the longest-running program, scripted show, in seasons in primetime television history. That was Eclipse Gunsmoke and the original Law and Order. And it should be pointed out that if you're talking about scripted series by episodes, the far away leader now is The Simpsons, as the longest-running show in terms of number of episodes produced. In terms of daytime, I'm not certain whether it's The Guiding Light. It might be Search for Tomorrow, and it might be Days of Our Lives, that's been around since the late 1960s. So I'm going to do some checking on it, and I'll tell you what, on Monday, we'll get back to you and our audience about it. But thank you for listening to the show on Wednesday. Thank you for hearing what Mark had to say and responding, and I hope you take my response in the way it was delivered, which was we'll do some more research and see if we can come up with a definitive answer in terms of daytime television. Primetime, seasons, looks like Law & Order SV right now is currently tied with Gunsmoke and Law & Order for 20. And in terms of episodes, in primetime, it is scripted The Simpsons. So thank you again, Mario 500. And I've seen your blog, by the way. It looks terrific. I appreciate your being a listener for us. When we come back, we will have the executive producer of one of Amazon's most popular shows for kids, and others too, The Stinky and Dirty Show. His name is Guy Chubak. He'll join us live from Los Angeles, and all of us have thoughts about the man who made Kung Fu happen, who passed away last month, but the word of his passing came yesterday, the brilliant producer-director, Jerry Thorpe. All of that coming up after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're catching us live, simulcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com, and we're also coming your way on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And remember, on Blog Talk Radio, it's your home for sitting around talking pictures. Join Neil Rose and Bill McCuddy every week, various times, talking pictures for you, right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow's Televised on this Friday, October 12, 2018. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 33 episodes we're doing this week. Appreciate you being aboard. 59 degrees at the top of the hour. We have a question or comment for our next guest. Don't forget, make sure you make the phone ring, 646-652-2906. Numbers good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And we also have our chat room going for business for you at SimonApple04 by name. And it's available on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. One thing you may not be aware of on services like Netflix and Amazon is the quality and diversity of their children's programming. And in the case of Amazon, they had some of their best shows are their kids' shows, and many of them have won Emmy Awards and other great awards in the TV and media field. One of those terrific shows is The Stinky and Dirty Show, and is about to have a new season underway. Our guest is the executive producer of that series. He's also working as story editor on an upcoming series for Disney Junior coming out next winter called T-O-T-S. Joining us live from Los Angeles, we bring you Guy Chubak. Guy, great to have you.
Thanks, Simon. Great to be here.
You're very welcome. What has you in the world of kid-bid television? Is it like a calling to you to do a show like Stinky and Dirty?
Sort of. It kind of found me more than anything else. But I guess you'd say as a kid, TV was really important to me. It was sort of what it sort of was my babysitter. It was sort of where I found my imagination going to. I would sit and watch Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers and the Electric Company when I was a kid, and I felt like it was just for me. And I felt like the world just came at me through that. And then I'd have to say I was a stay-at-home dad for 5 years. So in addition to seeing TV through my own eyes, I was seeing TV through my son's eyes. And it sort of was like, wow, you know, how can I make something that's going to be interesting to him but also engages – a mom or dad sitting next to a child watching TV. And I think that's sort of where the Stinky and Dirty Show came from, so the culmination of all of those things. How do I make something that's great for kids but also engages the adults sitting next to those kids?
Very interesting that over the last decade, children's programming as it came to be known from the 1950s onward is now seems to be more the prominence of an Amazon, a Netflix, a Hulu, which is bringing back Animaniacs, than it is broadcast television, or even in some case, except maybe for Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, Disney Junior, cable television. Because now on the broadcast networks, where you used to have cartoons and some live action aimed at kids, you now have Lynn's Weekend Adventure, The More You Know, The Epic Dream Team on CBS, One Night in the Morning. These are all shows that are more family-oriented, so they're aimed at more than one audience. And you have, as I said, Netflix and sort of Amazon picking up the slack. How long did it take to put together Stinky and Dirty, and where did Amazon come into the picture?
Well, Amazon actually wanted to do a show based on a series of books by Kate and Jim McMullen. And the books are called I Think and I'm Brave and various I'm Tough. And so they asked me to come in and give a look at the books and see what my take would be. And they're very simple books. They're just about a garbage truck or various vehicles and what they do all day. And my take was sort of taking the two that I thought would be most fun and funny to kids, the stinky one and the dirty one, the garbage truck and the backhoe loader, and putting them together, making them best friends and following their travels and adventures around a place that we called Go City. It's where vehicles live and work. And that's sort of how it came to be.
And what inspires individual episodes for you? Are there certain what do you take in terms of your writer's take in terms of source material for individual episodes?
You know, each episode is designed specifically for a curriculum that we developed specifically for this show. And by the way, our show is geared for 2 to 5 year olds. So, Simon, I imagine this is going to be your highest rated show ever for listeners under the age of 5, but hopefully parents are listening also. But the curriculum for our show, we could have, you know, we tried to come up with something that would be interesting for that age group. And one curriculum we thought of would have been recycling, you know, reuse, recycle, that sort of thing. But what we ended up coming up with was resourcefulness. And what resourcefulness means is that it's a way of thinking. So what we emulate on the show, what Stinky and Dirty our characters emulate, is how to solve a problem using what you have around you, which is great for a garbage truck because he's got tons of stuff in his hopper. And it's great for a building truck like Dirty because he knows how to build stuff. And the idea of the show is each episode you're presented, they're Stinky and Dirty are presented with a problem. And they have to figure out how to solve that problem using what's around them. And they use a catchphrase that we came up with. And the catchphrase is, "What if?" And so they're constantly asking what if and trying to figure out what to do next in order to solve that problem.
What's the style of the problem? Is it live action? Is it puppetry, animation? What kind of technique do you use?
It's beautiful 3D animation done by an amazing studio called Brown Bag Films in Dublin, Ireland. And what they've done is they've taken these beautiful picture books by Jim and Kate McMullen and they've turned it into a 3D world, but they didn't lose the brush strokes, the art, the texture that the artist originally came up with. They made it this 3D animation, but it has this beautiful texture that looks like it's painted on each 3D surface.
I know Brown Bag's organization very well in Ireland. They have done a number of great shows for Disney Channel as well as for Amazon. Doc McStuffins, one of the best Disney Channel animated shows ever, was done by Brown Bag in conjunction with the series creators and producers. And I think they've done a number of other shows for that channel and Disney Junior. And their animation talent is marvelous. It always looks clean, wonderful, very imaginative, super layouts and backgrounds.
It's beautiful stuff. And it, I mean, what the scripts we write here and the voices that we record here, that we send over to them, it ends up coming out beautiful.
The Stinky and Dirty Show you can find on Amazon, and you can find it if you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device that has Amazon Fire TV or Amazon programming, and chances are you probably do if you have a smart TV set or device. We've got the executive producer of the series, Guy Tibbetts. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart Retailers. In a moment, we'll talk about the other show he's involved with. It's a new series called TOTS, and that's coming early next year on Disney Junior. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're back on our regular Monday-Friday schedule this coming Monday, and when we do, we'll have the creator, producers, writers, directors, co-stars, a wonderful pair from the popular YouTube premium series, Foursome. Selena Warren and Marissa Reed, they are with us live, and they'll be our lead guests Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Tell Us. And if you'd like to check up on recent episodes we've done so far this October, well, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or check out the podcast version on iTunes, Apple TV, or Spreaker's podcast app, and, of course, www.iHeartRadio.com on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Thanks to all of you. More than 4,000 replays so far this month going this morning, and we thank you for each and every one of them. Keep the replays coming and tell your friends to tune us in both live and on replay. Guy, talk about TOTS. In this one, you're a story editor. How did you get that assignment for Disney Junior?
Well, as I was waiting between seasons for Stinky and Dirty to do our next season, I was looking around for some more work, and I came across this material. The show's created by a great guy named Travis Brown. I read the script and it just read like a Pixar movie. And I was like, this is great. I want to do something like this, for a younger age group. And I couldn't resist. So I signed on to do it, and we call it TOTS. We don't even bother with the periods. TOTS stands for Tiny Ones Transport Service. It's about the world of storks. So they're delivering little baby animals every week. But this is about the first flamingo and penguin who joined the storks to deliver babies.
Is there a little bit of the odd couple in this relationship?
There's a little bit of the odd couple. I mean, they're sort of the odd team because, penguins can't fly. And this particular flamingo isn't all that good at directions. So they're sort of the goofy new junior flyers at the TOTS organization.
And what do the stories deal with? It deals, I guess, the delivery of their service to various people or various creatures.
Creatures. It's animals. It's all baby animals. It's tons of babies. So, and there's not much more I can say about that. It's not coming out until, I believe, early 2019. So in the works.
Mm-hmm. And as story editor with your writers or storyboard artists, when you're in the writer's room and you're looking at plots, how much of the plots are based on either experiences that your writers have with animals at home, or what they've seen in some play, or how much does it deal with raising kids, or what kids deal with?
On both shows, on Stinky and Dirty and on TOTS, the best stories always come from our writers, from actual personal experiences. On Stinky and Dirty, we had an episode called The Waiting Games, and basically Stinky and Dirty get trapped inside of a parking garage overnight, and the whole episode they're trying to figure out how to get out, and what they realize is they can't get out, and so the story is about how to be patient. And that, I mean, any kid can identify with it, and any parent can identify with a kid who really, that's one of the hardest things to do as a kid, to be able to wait, to figure out methods of being able to be patient until something you're waiting for happens. There are other episodes. We're doing another episode where a sister is upset because she's not used to her new brother, and so it's an episode about sibling relationships. It often comes from a writer's own personal experiences.
My understanding is that Amazon, with Stinky and Dirty, releases a bunch of episodes at a time, and then waits a bunch of months, and then makes another bunch of episodes. What is the release pattern of your series? And do you have any say in terms of which episodes get bunched up?
We do. I mean, and we try to bunch them in ways that make sense. We're dealing with preschoolers, and so from episode to episode, they're not going to be able to follow a long-term arc. But we do try to bunch episodes that have themes together with each other. So in this last episode, we brought on a space shuttle to Go City, and he's voiced by Mark Hamill. So we tried to do a whole bunch of space-themed episodes. But something about that, I mean, when you talk about the new age, you were talking earlier about how Amazon sort of taken up the slack, or some of these places have taken up the slack of children's shows and being specific for age groups. I feel like our age group are the best binge watchers you could possibly imagine, because kids love to watch, and they love to watch over and over and over again. And so I think Amazon is sort of most suitable for our young viewers, and putting them in these little packages of 12, they can watch them and then watch them over and watch them over again. They don't have to wait for it to come on again. It just feels like the best place for parents to bring their kids to watch TV, whether they're watching with them or whether they're just letting the kids watch on their own.
Giving nod to this, he is the executive producer of one of Amazon's most popular KidVid show, and I should say, and Amazon makes a lot of great shows for the KidVid, and a small fry and all this, I might add. It's called The Stinky and Dirty Show. It'll be the next bunch of episodes, either is currently out or will be out before the end of the month. And Don joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York, 59 degrees at the top of the hour. We've gotten the remnants of what was Hurricane Michael out of the way. And by the way, our thoughts and prayers continue to be with everybody who is dealing with the aftermath. It was a devastating hurricane that hit the Florida panhandle about 48 hours ago. And I'll tell you, I've seen the shocks of it. And when you have a hurricane hit you, Category 4, 155 miles an hour, gusting to 175 or higher, you can't help but have that devastation. And please give some thoughts to all the first responders and officials, federal, state, local, that are handling the situation as very best to the max as they can. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, next Friday night, while we televise, Ray Garcia of My Name is Earl and Raising Hope Fame will be with us. He's got the second season coming up next week of The Guest Book, his series on TBS. He's the creative executive producer and director of that series. And we'll also have two of its co-stars, from Orange is the New Black, and from New York fans know her as one of the original co-stars of the Savarello's musical Waitress, Tomiko Glenn, and also other guest book co-star, Demi Chatro. That's all coming up a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on the Wabi Tell Live. And once again, don't forget, coming up the following week, on Wednesday, Tamara Tooney from Law & Order Special Victims Unit, live from Pittsburgh. What's the joy for you in doing shows like Stinky and Dirty and TS? What's the greatest pleasure you have? And I'm also curious about the people you have doing the voiceovers. How do you like working with them?
I'll take the first part. The greatest pleasure I have is the feedback. One great thing about Amazon is, like any product at Amazon, you can leave reviews for the products. And it's the same with the TV shows. So in our first season, we got over 7,000 written reviews, mostly 5 stars and mostly to the tune of, wow, I love this show. I love it My kids love it. My kid's three. It's the only show he watches. My daughter loves it. It's a show I love to watch with my son at the same time. We get comments like, we love to watch the show, and after the show's over, we love to play with the cars and trucks and pretend that we're stinky and dirty. And so knowing that we're inspiring kids not only to watch and maybe teaching them a little thing or two, but also to play after they watch the show and to play with their parents, that's what brings me the greatest amount of joy. A little bit of a presence on Twitter and Instagram when I can, we'll get the same kind of stuff, same kind of like fan letters. People are making costumes. We don't have any consumer products yet. I can't wait till we do. I hope we do someday. But people are making their own stinky and dirty Halloween costumes. They're making their own stinky and dirty themed parties and cakes, stuff like that. Knowing that we're making an impact is what gives me the most joy of all. And what was this, the other thing you asked? Oh, you asked about working with the voice talent, right?
About your voiceover talent. Who are some of the people you work with? And I'm a fan. I think the people who do voiceover do not get enough credit for what they do and the contribution they make to animated television.
You got that right. These guys and these men and women and kids are probably some of the most talented people, some of the most talented actors you could work with. I've worked with Tom Kenny, who is the voice of SpongeBob. He does 6 or 7 voices on our show. You would never even know it was him, but he comes in and just knocks it out of the park every time. Worked with one of the dreams I got to work with Mark Hamill, who appropriately plays the space shuttle on our space episodes. But I've worked with Whoopi Goldberg and Joan Cusack. Wallace Shawn plays a character named Tall, which I think he was pretty amused about. But the two actors who are most important are two kids. Jet Juergensmeyer plays the voice of Dirty, and Isaac Ryan Brown plays the voice of Stinky. And they're amazing. They're incredible professionals, and they've brought these two kid characters to life.
The Stinky and Dirty Show. You can check it out 24/7 at Amazon. It's a wonderful program service. It's available if you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device. And for more details about the program online, go to www.amazon.com/TV. That's www.amazon.com/TV. And once again, coming up early next year will be the new Disney Junior show that our guests involved with. It's called T.O.T.S. And again, that will be running early January on Disney Junior. For more details about that series online, www.disneyjunior.com. Guy Topes, the executive producer of Stinky and Dirty, story editor on Top. Thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you aboard. Congratulations on both shows happening, and best of continued success in the world of Kid Did. And really, when you come down with television that's suited for the family, it makes a big difference in people's lives.
Oh, great. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Simon. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Guy. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too.
Guy Tobin, executive producer of the Stinky and Dirty Show on Amazon and the upcoming TOTS, the story editor on Disney Junior's new series. In 1972, ABC ran a movie of the week that came on the air without fanfare, without much publicity, and in one night rocked the television world. I'm referring to Kung Fu, with David Carradine starring as Quiet Chang Kane, a Shaolin priest on the run from his own country because he killed the emperor's son, and at the same time trying to find his half-brother. Nobody had ever been prepared for anything like Kung Fu. And the reason why was a brilliant producer-director by the name of Jerry Thorpe, who created the way, the style, and the substance of that series, using a great script by Ed Spielman and Howard Freelander, and a developer, Herman Miller, later became the show's producer. Kung Fu was an overnight sensation. ABC saw it with the help of Warner Brothers, and they turned it into a series that began as a once-a-month series and then became a weekly series that ran for 3 seasons, from 1973 to 1975. Kung Fu was an extraordinary show. The cinematography was unlike anything you ever saw. Everything from double and triple exposure of individual scenes to sunset and sunrise shots where the character of Kane would actually walk out of the sun at sunrise, walk into the sun at sunset. And there was the idea of rack focus, the ability in one shot to go from one character in the same scene to the other character simply by changing the lens while the camera shot was on. It was Orson Welles. I'm sure Orson Welles would have liked that. Jerry Thorpe put that together. It was Jerry Thorpe's masterpiece, and in the first season, he directed a program, an episode called An Eye for an Eye, and he won the Emmy Award that year with a script by John Fury Jr. It was known as the No Revenge episode. Jerry Thorpe was a creative director who took a chance on David Carradine, who took a chance on Kung Fu, who took a chance on episodes like An Eye for an Eye, which basically said to the American public, there's a better way of life here. We're going to show you that philosophy, and we're going to make that the star of the show, as well as the action and the characterization. But more importantly, we're going to preach that revenge is not something anyone should deal with. In that famous scene at the end of that episode where Kane is about to leave, the father of a woman who's been raped, the father cries out, "If I don't have a right to revenge, who does?" And Kane turns back and says, "No one." That statement was very courageous at the time for a television network to do. And there were some people at ABC who were not very happy with that. But Jerry Thorpe stood up to that, and he was rewarded with an Emmy Award and with a show that ran 3 seasons, followed by a spinoff later on, Kung Fu Lynch Continues, and now, believe it or not, the possibility of a new series on Fox. Jerry Thorpe passed away on September 25th. But his news of his passing came yesterday. Ironically, it came a day after the Fox announcement that they were developing Kung Fu as a new series. Jerry was an incredible director and also one of the early people in television. I wish we had the time to tell you about his work with Deadloop Productions with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, his directing of one of the early great comedies, December Bride, his work on The Untouchables, his post-work with Warner Brothers on shows like Harry O with David Janssen, the fact that Thorpe was a master at getting great performances as well as great cinematography from his shows. If you get a chance to see Jerry Thorpe's work in action, I hope you do. And I hope that in light of his death and his passing, that YouTube will run the Kung Fu episodes in their entirety. I know that in many markets around the country, Kung Fu is still playing somewhere in syndication or on one of those MeTV, This TV networks. If you get a chance to see it or other work of Jerry Thorpe, you are seeing a master at play. He was one of the great ones, and his work will be missed, but his influence on where television is at will be around for a long time to come. And you could say that the way television is now, with storylines, with the use of cinematography, the use of syntax in storytelling, that it all started, in many respects, with Kung Fu. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have that duo from Forza on YouTube Premium, Selena Warren and Marissa Reed. And don't forget, next Friday, Greg Garcia from The Guest Book and two of his co-stars, Tomiko Glenn, and Jimmy Tatro. If you came to learn on today's program or catch an episode of Jimmy's, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, we'd love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Steinberg is executive content producer and the co-founder of the BTR, Al Levy and Bob Chowish. Tomorrow we tell us brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a sensational weekend. Please keep your thoughts and prayers for folks dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Michael. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Spreaker on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.